Welcome to Psychic Elephant Radio. Tonight's feature of Only the Monsters is Chapter 3, The Omniweb. Please enjoy. Melissa disengages the safety mode and the duo inspects the transport for damage.
What do you figure our friends were last night?
Had to be Wendigos. Way too large to be shapeshifters. Plus, look at these claw marks. They're huge. I just never heard of them running in a pack like that.
Welp, we better get moving.
Melissa nods and they hop back in the transport. Over the next hour, it's non-stop Wendigo talk from Melissa. She can barely contain her enthusiasm and excitement. They find a parking spot for the battle-scarred transport and walk to meet the Omniweb team.
So basically, Wendigo are like the less evolved cousins of the shapeshifters. All the savageness, without the intellect.
Let's say we run into more. How do we,
kill them? Safe bet? Chop off their head? That'll kill anything. Look, we're here.
Who are we looking for?
A woman comes out of the building and begins waving to David and Melissa as she walks towards them.
Probably her.
Nice.
Hi, you must be from Archives. We have been expecting you. I'm Dolores Lee, but everyone calls me Del. Pleasure to meet you.
Del was turned later in her life, in her mid-60s, which was unusual. Turnings are generally methodical and reserved for those in the 30 to 50 range. It gave her a very distinguished look and possibly added to her calm demeanor.
Most of our team is out on maintenance calls today, fixing downed wires. We had a pack of Wendigo come through, ripping out cables all over the place last night.
Oh, yeah. We had the pleasure of meeting them.
You were lucky to have survived it. So, what can I do for you folks? I understand you're writing our future history book.
We are looking to hear about your experiences after the fall and what got you to where you are today. My partner will be recording our conversation, okay?
Sure, I'd be happy to talk about it. I'm sure my story starts like many others. The humans began to get sick and die and panic. And once they were gone, we were pretty lost. My husband and I lived off the grid here in Vermont. We took turns hitting up hospitals and blood banks near the end and had a nice little stash that lasted a while. We knew lots of Strigoi and even some shifters that lived near us too. Well, kinda near us, in about a 20-mile radius. So, my husband and I came up with a way to run cable between our houses. Using old computer parts, we rigged up a rudimentary messaging system similar to email. We both had backgrounds in communications and engineering. It was a great way to check on each other, barter for blood bags, warn each other about dangers and so forth. When the High Council was formed, they sent out recruiters and they followed the cables to our house. We explained what we had done, and they were very interested in us heading up a large-scale project, what you now know as Omniweb. Headquarters were to be set up here, and we were to begin immediately. I still remember the day we started, and they set up a tiny synth station right where our bar now is. You'll need your strength, they said. They also supplied us with a decent workforce to complete it too. Young Strigoi probably turned right before the fall. Remember how once everyone realized the plague only affected humans, they started turning their friends and loved ones. Crazy times. So, anyways, we got to work building small outposts for communication hubs and running cables.
Must have taken so long.
At first, it was slow, climbing trees to attach lines and hauling huge spools of cable. Then, about a month into the project, the craziest thing happened. About 10 miles of cable had been hung overnight, really high up in the trees, too. Something we could have never accomplished. As we stood there admiring the feat, a bunch of empty wire spools dropped from the sky. It was dark and hard to see, but it looked like some guys flying around up there. It was funny. They almost seemed to be asking for more, like a dog playing fetch.
Oh my. Mothman?
Del chuckles a bit.
Yep. They had been watching us struggle for weeks and decided to help. We were so glad they did. That was the norm from then on out. We kept building on the ground and the Mothmen ran the cable. Sometimes Thunderbirds helped out too. It was a wild scene, but very cool. They saved us years of work. It was almost like they knew this would help everyone in the future.
Did you talk to them? What were they like?
They weren't really talkative. They sort of just knew what we needed and did it. When they did talk, it was real enigmatic, like gibberish, but kind of profound gibberish, if you know what I mean. With their help, we ran lines across North America and eventually to all of the settlements and outposts.
The interview is interrupted by a few young Strigoi, turned in their late 20s, most likely right before the fall. They come bursting into the headquarters, screaming and carrying on about nearly getting attacked by a Wendigo in the woods.
Oh my god, man, it was so close. I thought for sure it was going to kill you.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah, man. That was almost as scary as the time I saw two of them and a werewolf.
Yeah, okay, man.
Yeah, man. She was like just hanging out with them.
My apologies. This is Sam, Brady, and Benji. And don't believe a word Benji has to say.
I'm telling you, I saw it and a troll one time and...
How about the Loch Ness Monster?
They all laugh. Benji storms out. Sam and Brady continue talking to Dell about the Wendigo sighting.
Well, I think we got all we needed. Thank you, Dell.
Dell waves as she listens to them go on and on.
We should go talk to Benji.
Who? You mean the troll guy? No thanks.
Come on, you never know. Could be some nuggets of truth in there. Plus, it might be fun.
I do like fun. Hell, why not?
David and Melissa track down Benji at the local synth bar. He is having a drink with a few of his friends.
May we join you?
Sure. You guys are the history people, right?
Correct.
Benji's friend speaks up and interrupts them as he stumbles over to them.
Oh man, you guys gotta talk to him. He's seen all kinds of stuff. He's a local legend.
Oh yeah? Benji? Have you seen all kinds of stuff?
Pardon my colleague. Please, tell us about your experiences.
Tell him about the Goat Man.
Okay. So, it was about 20 years ago, and I was out checking some lines. It was me and two of my co-workers. Not those guys from earlier, but some different people. No one else was around for miles. We went off different ways checking lines, and all of a sudden, I smell something weird. Almost like a burning electrical smell. I turned around, and my buddy was standing there. Scared the hell out of me. He was acting super weird, like he wasn't all there. The longer I talked to him, the weirder he acted. The more I looked at him, the more I realized something was just different about him. I heard someone call my name from another direction, and it was my friend who was just there. So trippy. He said it wasn't him before. I mean, it couldn't have been him. Vamps can move fast, but not that fast.
Wow, I've read so much about the Goatman sightings over the years. Even interviewed a witness on my podcast way back when.
Holy shit, that's where I recognize your voice. I used to listen to your show all the time.
Melissa looks at David and wiggles her eyebrows and whispers to him in a quiet voice.
I guess there's two celebrities here now.
David laughs and nods agreeingly.
So, Goatman is cool and all, but what else you got, Benji?
Well, there's that time I saw that girl hanging out with a Wendigo.
Like at a birthday party?
No, man. In the woods. She was definitely a shifter. Werecat or something. But it was weird. It was like she was taking it for a walk, like you would a dog. I mean, it kind of makes sense, you know, because of what they say.
Melissa takes a sip of her drink as she looks very intrigued.
What do they say, Benji?
You know, that the shifters created the Wendigo. Like they were a failed experiment or something.
Melissa laughs and David sighs. Benji's friend jumps in.
No, man. The Wendigo are the result of a botched turning. Like if the moon isn't full enough, just like Chupacabra are botched vampire turnings.
David gives Melissa a wide-eyed look and he exhales deeply.
So yeah, well, I've heard all those theories. But we now know that's not the case. It's what they've been studying at the outposts.
Okay, Benji. One more. And when these drinks are gone, so are we.
Okay, last one. Way back when we were first running lines out in Wyoming or something, I can't quite remember. I was up in a tree, and off in the distance I saw this thing digging a hole in the middle of the day. I was all covered in anti-UV, so I must have blended in with trees because I don't think they saw me. It looked like a man was burying treasure or something, like fancy artworks, silver and gold. The weird thing is, he was out in the day without any UV protection, so he wasn't a vamp. And he was holding silver, so he wasn't a shifter. He just kind of looked like a dude, like a human dude.
So this was just a few years after the fall?
Benji nods.
They called that the suffering. It was in the early days, and we were all trying to adjust to the humans being gone. Most of us had friends and loved ones who passed. It was so hard on our psyche. I mean, it got better over the years, but there's still a sting there.
No, man, it wasn't the suffering coming back, wasn't anything like that. It was just weird.
I saw some shovels outside. Should we go digging for treasure?
David barely gets his snarky joke in before the air is filled with a loud buzzing sound coming from above them. Melissa looks to David with curiosity. They turn to Benji and his friend for answers, but they had moved to the bar to chat up some others. David throws down some credits at the table and they go out to investigate. They look up at the pre-dawn sky filled with Mothmen buzzing by, followed by the graceful flaps from the 40-foot wingspan of the Thunderbirds. It was beautiful, the symphony of buzzes and low-booming swoops. A man's voice cuts in on the symphony.
They do that about once a month. I figure they're just checking in on us to make sure we're okay.
Melissa slowly brings her attention to him. He's older, another Strigoi turned later in life. He has a bit of a beer belly and long gray hair.
Let me guess, you're Del's husband?
He chuckles a bit.
Yes, ma'am. Francis, or call me Frank. Everyone calls me Frank.
The winged creatures disappear into the night, and the night is quiet yet again. David stands there, still looking to the sky.
Okay, that was pretty damn cool.
Melissa gets David's attention.
This is Frank, Del's husband.
I apologize for missing the interview earlier. The OmniWeb really keeps us busy, and to be honest, I was a bit nervous about it.
Oh, it's no problem there, Frank. We heard plenty of stories here today.
Benji.
David laughs as he hears Benji's name.
Yes, sir. Now, if you would excuse us, we need to hit the hub so we can get our next marching orders.
It was a pleasure to meet you, Frank.
Likewise.
The routine continues. Melissa uploads the interviews for Agatha and they receive their next assignments. David loads the transport with synth from the hub and quickly checks his messages.
We all set?
Yep.
You tell him about the transport?
Nope.
Probably good, since you know, it was all your fault and everything.
David laughs.
Where are we heading?
Melissa punches him in the arm like a little sister would to her big brother.
Nous allons à Montréal, via Eastman and Waterloo.
Montreal, the city of monsterly love. The not-quite-shapeshifter territory or Strigoi territory, and one would imagine, a great source of material for us.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty stoked about it.
David smirks.
Hey, I also got a message from the wellness department, asking how your mental state has been.
Yeah, I got that too. I think they are afraid that our walks down memory lane might trigger us.
What did you tell them?
I told them the truth. We spent years mourning the loss of friends and loved ones, watching them die in front of us, living hundreds of years without them. With all those feelings bombarding you, you're doing an excellent job at handling it.
It's so hard. All those buried feelings are rushing back. But I'm dealing. And thank you, I said the same for you. I told them we were all messed up for a long time and still are. But this work is keeping us busy, and you are doing fine.
Then I told them you let a herd of Wendigo trample and scratch the hell out of their state-of-art transport just because you wanted to see them up close.
Melissa laughs.
You're an asshole. Oh, wait a minute. I have a friend in Granby. We should stop and visit them. It's on the way. Might be fun, yeah?
David shakes his head.
What? No way.
Oh, come on. What is it? That scared of Agatha?
I just want this to be over. It's dredging up old feelings. Shitty, depressing feelings. I can't work on my book on the road much. I can't seem to get into it. And, yeah, Agatha's kind of scary.
I get it. I just handle this stuff differently, I guess. I want to go see old friends and talk about the old days in Nola. No talk of the High Council, the Fall, or the Suffering.
She just stares at you with those dead eyes.
Maybe after Waterloo, you'll change your mind.
Doubt it.
David and Melissa spend the next 10 days interviewing and uploading to OmniWeb. The stories are similar every time. The High Council is wonderful. I was lost before they gave me purpose. Not quite the excitement Melissa was hoping for, and the uncreative monotony David loathed. As they pack supplies at the end of the Waterloo assignment, Melissa turns to David.
I heard about this amazing tavern in Granby. Top shelf synth for days. Probably has a dartboard, pool table, and jukebox too.
David lets out a groan.
Fine.
Yay!
Melissa's friend takes them to the St. Christophe, an old hotel from before the fall. Now it's the hangout spot for the Granby locals. They drink and play games all night, all without a single mention of the High Council. Running low on chips, they decide to take full advantage of the transport's sleeping quarters. They wake the next day feeling rejuvenated, ready to head to Montreal and ready to get back to work. Melissa wants to stop at the hub before they leave town.
I'm going to run in and check my messages quickly. You want to check yours?
No, I'm good. It's just been spam lately anyways.
Melissa scrolls through the usual messages. One's from her ex-boyfriend, a few from friends, some spam, and then at the bottom was an unscheduled message from Agatha. Melissa's heart begins to beat a little faster, and she furrows her eyebrows as she hesitantly opens the message. The message only contains 7 words in total. Leave Granby immediately. Do not deviate again. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. Tune in next week for Chapter 4, The North. If you like what you heard, please consider giving us a good rating. Check out our Facebook page, Psychic Elephant Radio. For more content, please visit our Patreon. Opening theme song by Pygmy Moose. All content property of Psychic Elephant Radio.